Great Sixers surge has gotten this city back in a basketball mood, but now we're losing it. Do you feel it starting to slip away for our 76ers?
Not at all. You know, these bumps and bruises are going to come with the territory simply because it's a relatively young team, in particularly a key position. And not only that, people are getting their bearings under them. Some people, you know, because you didn't work out as much as you should have during the lockout and what have you. It was a lot of ugly basketball that was taking place. And then, you know, you get on a roll and then you drop off a little bit here and there. The Sixers are who we thought they were. They're a talented team. They're exceptionally well coached by somebody that I think is one of the best in the game, in Doug Collins. You got a lot of young guards. They can shoot and they can defend. But you don't have a closer. And when you don't have a closer, you are going to struggle from time to time. But the Sixers will be just fine. They'll go to the postseason. They'll have a shot at winning a first-round series. Not much else beyond that. But they're going to be respectable. They will be in the postseason. And they're one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. That is not a fluke.
All right, Stephen A., you made a very good statement where you said they don't have a closer. I'm going to give you a number that you don't have that will dazzle you. This is how less of a closer they have in Andre Iguodala. In the last seven games, Stephen, fourth quarter, he has one field goal. In seven quarters, final quarters of the last seven games, how do you justify that kind of money for a guy that cannot step up when you need him?
You can't justify that. That is as pathetic and as putrid as it comes. But I will say this to you, in fairness to him, and I'm not making any excuses for those kind of numbers because there can be none. But at the same time, you cannot measure Andre Iguodala by just what he does on the offensive end of the floor. He takes the toughest defensive assignment night in, night out. Whether it's LeBron, whether it's Kobe, whether it's a Kevin Durant, whether it's a Carmelo Anthony, the list goes on and on. Paul Pierce, the toughest assignment this guy takes every single night. And he does a pretty damn good job. You speak to the stars around the league, they all respect him because they consider him a very, very tough matchup. The problem is that because of his athleticism that comes along with that, the Sixers bought into this idea that they had to have him at the price that they had to have him. And because they paid him, obviously the expectations come with that, and clearly he can't live up to it because he's a decent offensive player. He's not a scrub, not by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that it's his defense and his athleticism that makes him valuable, not his scoring prowess.
All right, Steven, let me get, you know this city as well as anybody because you cover basketball better in this city than anyone ever did it, all right? So here's what I want to know, though. When you say that this Sixers team could win a round, you know that's not enough for the city that you worked in for so long. So the question I then would have is, should they be trying to work that roster? Should Rod Thorne be trying to make a move or two to give them a better chance to go deeper into the playoffs?
Well, first of all, forget about what he should do. He is trying to do that. That's Rod Thorne.
He hasn't done a damn thing. He's done nothing.
Well, listen, because it's hard, because what you need is a marquee guy. You don't, all the other the supplementary parts, the second tier guys, he's got that cornered. Andre Iguodala is a second-tier guy.
Right.
Thaddeus Young is a second-tier guy. So is Louis Williams, Jrue Holiday, Jody Meeks. Their guards are really good, and they play defense. I mean, up to a few weeks ago, they were the number one defense in the league.
Right.
These boys play hard every single day. They love practicing and what have you. It's just that, can you get into the Dwight Howard sweepstakes and things like that? Because you don't need a superstar at another position. If you got a small forward or whatever, Carmelo Anthony, did you really want that? It would have been nice, because he's a closer, but at the same time, again, what you really, really need is somebody like a Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
He hasn't put Philadelphia on his list of teams that he wants to go to. So what the city needs to do and what the organization needs to do is to go out there and remind everybody that Philly is a big-time sports town, and this is someplace the stars should want to consider coming to, because they haven't put Philly on their list of desired destinations.
All right. Well, I agree with what you said there, Steven. And that's why I would like you to assess the new ownership of the team, because I feel like that's the that's a good direction. Where they have taken this team is to move them up a notch or two in the psyche of the city. You agree with that? What do you think of these guys?
I don't know anything about them. What I will tell you is that the new collective bargaining agreement, to some degree, has evened the scales. You don't have to be a billionaire owner in order to field a good team and to make some noise. It'll take a year or two for teams to adjust to the new rules and the stipulations that come with it. But the Philadelphia 76ers have the pieces in place. You are literally a franchise that is one piece away from title contention. And
wow.
I said one.
One.
You have a coach. You have just one. You have a coach. You have an exceptional coach. You got a lot of good athletes on this squad. They play hard, and they play defense, and they have athletes, okay? So when you have all of, and they have perimeter shooting. So when you have all of those things, what you are lacking is a closer, one legitimate piece for title contention. That's all you need. Now, I don't know what that piece is outside of Dwight Howard or somebody like Carmelo Anthony, who other than Kobe Bryant has hit more game-tying or game-winning shots than anybody in the league since 2003. But you have the other pieces in place, which is more than at least 23 to 25 teams in this league can say.
Phenomenal stuff. All right, now, you have just described to me a guy that I thought of right now, if I was one era back, would have been a guy you covered brilliantly here, Allen Iverson. And Forbes magazine, I got to tell you, Steve, Forbes magazine has a piece out right now about him. He has squandered over $200 million. Yeah. And one of the stories they tell, which you probably knew about because you were the beat guy, is that he did not enjoy suitcases. So he would go from city to city and purchase new clothes at each city and then distribute them to posse members after he was done wearing them. He went through $200 million. As a guy that knew him as well as you did, Steven, does it shock you that he spent $200 million?
No, it doesn't shock me. It saddens me. And the story is not yet over. We have to hope that it won't end tragically, but some would argue that it has already ended tragically. It's clearly a bad situation. In terms of the specifics, I'm not sure about how accurate they are in that regard, but clearly he's in a world of trouble right now, and the only thing that I can say reasonably is that, you know, his prayers should all be with him, because this is a story that could potentially end tragically if you know, he's not assisted in the right way, and the kind of help that people like him find themselves in these situations need, because usually when you have that kind of collapse, you don't know what you're capable of, because that fall is just too great to stomach. So
wow,
right now, you know, I've been very aware of it. All I can say for you at this moment in time is that I'm addressing the issue. I'm addressing the issue on my end, I know people that are addressing the issue on their end. And when there's more to tell you, I promise you I will do just that.
But you are saying that the situation is even more serious than what we think it is.
I'm saying it could potentially. I don't know that to be a fact. That
right.
is what I have heard.
Wow.
But I don't know that to be a fact.
Wow, that's unbelievable. All right, I got to ask you another thing, because I am not a big fan of Linsanity up in New York, but I know you love a story like that. I'm very curious as to how you feel about the sudden emergence of Jeremy Lin in the Knicks.
Well, he can play. He's a point guard, a legitimate point guard on this level in this particular system that's operated by Mike D'Antoni. It's to be respected. I do think that it's been blown up for him to be a star, and that his talent is not on that level. And I think that you will find that out tonight. I'm literally in the security line getting ready to head to South Beach, because he's about to go up against D-Wade and LeBron James tonight. And I can assure you that whatever he's been enjoying, it's about to come to a screeching halt in a few hours. I mean, the guy can play. He's got a nice jump shot.
Right.
He can get to the hole anytime he wants to. He says the right things. He's all about team.
Right.
He seems to be a great kid. But at the same time, you were in the D-League up to a month ago for a reason. You can play, but there are players, and then there are superstars. And he's about to get encountered by superstars
nice.
That are going to show him the difference.
See, I'm excited about that because I don't like the kid. And it's not, I got nothing personal. He's a Nick.
Stop
I don't like that.
That.
I don't
Stop
like that.
That.
Steven, I don't
he's
like the Knicks.
He's still a terrible human
Steven,
being, Steven.
Steven, I don't like when you were succeeding on the Knicks. Why would I, as a Philadelphia fan, want to see that happen? I don't want that.
You know why? You want me to tell you why? Because
why?
The Philadelphia 76ers are not going to regress. They're not going anywhere, which means that if the Knicks are relevant, that makes the Knicks 76ers rivalry that much more potent. That's why you should love it.
No, I want the Knicks to lose in that rivalry.
You mentioned regress. Could Drew Holiday take a step forward?
Right.
Be helpful.
He's going to get there. The dude can play. I mean, there are adjustments that need to be made, and I understand. I'm not making any excuses. I haven't been able to watch them religiously over the last two or three weeks or so, but I've been to a few of their games. They play hard, and they come at it, and sometimes you got to go through that learning curve, especially as the season progresses. Teams all of a sudden become more familiar with you, and you don't have a closer. There has to be somebody.
Great message.
When the fourth quarter arrives and the clock is winding down, you're literally going like, all right, it's time for us to fall back and move out of the way. This is his time. They do not have that. And you also have to remember that Iguodala's only got a couple of years. Elton Brand's only got a year after this year. The future looks very, very bright for the Sixers, I'm telling y'all.
One last thing. I have no idea what your position is, whether or not you're a marijuana enthusiast, all right?
Oh, God.
Here's all I want to know, Steven. Baron Davis hit his first shot in like 9 years. I don't know how long he's been out with the Knicks and made a gesture that appeared to be taking a toke from the weed, all right? Did you see the gesture?
I did not see the gesture at all.
You got to see it. It's all over the internet.
I was on air. I did not see it.
Should he be suspended if his first gesture was a marijuana support move after the J? Yes or no?
If you can prove that, absolutely.
All right. Well, you look at that, Stevie, to get back to me, because I think he did a marijuana gesture. It should be punished.
Yeah, but you can't suspend somebody on what you think. It has to be literally true.
All right, I'll go to Rhea because she used to be a marijuana enthusiast. So I think that's
why
true.
Why you gotta tell a business? Why you gotta do that, Angela?
It was medicinal.
It was, yeah, she had an affliction at that point.
Yeah, my affliction is you.
Stephen A. Smith, I think we have established that you're a voice this city needs to hear many, many more times. You're one of the greats of all time, Stephen A. Thank you, my friend.
I'm always around. I love y'all. Y'all take it easy.
Thanks, Stephen A. Stephen A., there's a message in that little appearance.
What is it?
The Sixers need a closer.
I got a message in it.
What did you get?
I don't have one whit of sympathy for Allen Iverson.
No,
not even the slightest.
He did. Did you hear him?
I don't have the slightest. I hate when a guy gets hoodwinked and loses his money or something. But when you're spending money, and I keep saying this, clothes and cars, and I have zero sympathy.
I see
none.
Your point. I got to say, Al. $200 million.
You know what?
How?
Yeah.
How?
If they came to me and said, could you give a nickel? I'd say no.
I agree with you.
No,
I agree
not
with
even
you.
A nickel.
I don't think anybody in this city is shedding a tear.
Not,
he blew it.
I mean,
he blew it.
Yeah.
And we kind of knew he was when he did it.
Everybody was trying to help him. You can't. Yep. I mean, everybody.
You
know, do this.
What a story, though. You should read the story, Al. It doesn't make you feel sorry for him.
Look, I've seen teams.
But it's amazing.
I have seen teams throw. Yeah. What do they call people that make good-fitting clothes? Tailors. Yeah. I've seen them throw them out of locker rooms because they were charging 10,000, 12,000 people buying 8 suits. Yeah. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, apparently, he thought he was playing until he was 80. Didn't happen. 888-729-9494. Lots of your phone calls when we come back. And Tom McGinnis's most embarrassing moment. WIP Sports Time is 736. Now pay attention closely to what I'm about to tell you. Because Steve Bernie.